as we give it. I love Bible study. I wouldn't want to bring you something that didn't help me. Amen. And so anyway, something caught my attention. I've long learned that when I'm studying, Brother Tony, and I read something, I was like, now why is that that way? It's a good place to stop. Amen. Because the Lord usually wants to show you something. Or why is that? Why did they say that? Or how come that's that way? Usually the Lord really wants to turn on a light about something when he does that. I believe he guides us to look. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Chronicles today. 1 Chronicles chapter 27. And I'm going to be preaching out of one verse today. One verse. And I'd say this would be quick, but I ain't going to say that. Amen. Every time I say this would be quick, everybody says, oh, me. Yeah, it might be long. So anyway, if you will stand today in reverence to the Word of God. I'm glad we got our old King James Bible, aren't you? Amen. Amen. 1 Chronicles chapter number 27 and verse number 12. 1 Chronicles chapter number 27, verse number 12. The ninth captain of the ninth month with Abiezer, the Anathothite of the Benjamites, and in his course were 24,000. And y'all are reading that right now saying, how in the world is a preacher going to have a message out of this? But God began to get on my heart about this ninth month, which is in December, which, by the way, in 2010 would be today. Today is the December or the month of in the calendar there for the Jewish year. Kislev starts on this year because today is the day of the new moon, starts on December 5th. So we're actually here on the kickoff today on what would be the Hebrew month of Kislev is today. Isn't that something? And today I'm going to preach on keeping watch in the wintertime, keeping watch in the wintertime. And each one of these, there were 12 months and 12 captains of David's mighty men that were to keep a watch during a different month of the year. Each month of the year they were keep the watch over the kingdom. And it just so happens that the ninth month, or what would be our December, was Abiezer's month to keep watch, and he was to keep watch in the wintertime. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Freeman, if you will, lead us in prayer, and please pray for me this morning. Amen. Amen. Appreciate the prayer. One prayed it. Amen. I was thinking about my nephew Jeremy, preaches down at Denton, in Denton, North Carolina. He's got a theme message he preaches every year in the spring. He preaches on the sins of summer every year. He said, I warned beforehand. Said, people get into sin in summertime in a minute. And he said, I preach it every year. Not the same message so much, but he said, I hit it every year because I know they're going to get in trouble again. That some sun comes out and they want to do things. Amen. Shouldn't do. And but I just couldn't get away from this ninth month here, this month, Kislev, that would happen on today. And begin to study on this thing and read about this in these verses and begin to try to do a little study upon this man this month and what this meaning of what he was doing. I just want to give you some things about that. And I hope before it's over with, you'll kind of fall in love with this man and what he was about. And you'll kind of get in your heart the meaning or the reason to keep watching the wintertime. Amen. Boy, I tell you one thing. A lot of people this time of year let down their guard. Amen. And they let some things slip. Say amen right there. A lot of people go out and buy gifts with their tithing. Amen. That's wicked. Amen. I wouldn't want one thing bought with my tithing. I wouldn't want to give anything bought with my tithing. The Bible says, where have you robbed God with your tithes and offerings? I sure wouldn't want to take something I went and stole. You wouldn't want a stolen gift, would you? I wouldn't want to give a stolen gift, and I sure ain't going to start doing that today. Amen. Are you listening? Don't want to start doing that. So a lot of people do that. And then a lot of people do away with their talents, amen, during this time. And then a lot of people do away with their time. They let their time get stole away during this time of year. Say amen right there. Amen. Amen. We can find energy to put lights up, but can't find energy to pray. Amen. 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 This is going to be a shouting message. Amen. But that's not what this is about today. I want to preach on this man about what he did and how God used him and the times he was in. And first of all, let's look at it. The Bible says in verse number 12, we'll stay right there. It says, the ninth captain for the ninth month. Now, if you read in previous verses, you'll find out there are 12 captains, 12 months, and something about it. But he was in this month. And it falls today on this year, would be December 5th, would be this day, as I've already said. But notice the conditions also. I went and began to study that word there. We look up the word winter, actually in the Bible. The word winter is in the Bible. And the word English, in the English, comes from an old Anglo-Saxon word, and it means to be windy and wet. Amen. That's a good thing for winter time. Amen. It means to be windy and wet, and that's what winter means. And winter becomes because the earth tilts on its axis and tilts away for the northern hemisphere and tilts away from it. The angle gets different, and so we get a colder. We don't get as much direct sunlight, and so we get wintertime. Pretty simple that. Here's what the interesting thing was. I went over and looked over in Jerusalem. I said, well, Lord, in December, or Kislev, I looked on just trying to find out something about it. What was the temperature over there? And their average temperature in the winter for Jerusalem is about 49 degrees Fahrenheit. And you know what ours is about here in Weddington, North Carolina? It's about 44, 45 degrees Fahrenheit. So we can sort of relate about the same temperature, about the same sitting, not a severe. They don't normally have a severe summer. They don't normally have a severe winter. They have just about the same type of season that we have right now. So we can understand that this man was to keep it in the month about the same temperatures, about the same we are. We can't look at them and say, well, we are so much worse than that. No, we can't say that, amen? Because their weather pattern, our weather pattern, about the same weather pattern, okay? So first of all, we see the conditions, the calendar and the conditions. And then we see the calling. If you will back up, I do want to read verse number 1 to give you a little bit of introduction to this chapter and these verses. But verse number 1 says, now the children of Israel, after their number, to wit the chief fathers and captain of thousand hundreds and their officers, that served the king in any matter of the courses, which came in and went out month by month throughout all the months of the year of every course, were 24,000. Now, so there's 24,000, and there's going to be a captain over that 24,000, and they're going to come in. Each one's going to take a month, and they'll be in guard over Jerusalem, over Israel. Now, why is that so? Well, the truth of the matter is a time of peace has come to Jerusalem under David's reign. And finally, there's a time when he's not fighting a battle. But David was very militant. In other words, he was very in tune with warfare and battle. And David knew that just because you had a time of peace, you didn't sell all your weapons and do away with all your places of being protect yourself. He knew that people would come up and try to come up during any season of the year, and that you always ought to be ready at that time. So what he did, he took his army and he split them up in 12 divisions. 24,000 apiece, and each one was taken a man to put over him, because David knew that it needed to protect the city at all times, and there was no reason to have 288,000 men on guard all the time. That'd be a great burden on the Jerusalem and children of Israel. And so he said, there'll be, we can rotate them around, and somebody don't have to be here 24/7, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. They don't have to be here. Actually, it's 360 in their calendar. 365 days a year. They didn't have to be here. And so we'll go that way. And so David, being a military man, knew what was right, and being a king, knew how to do something and not be a burden on his nation. So he did just that. There's certain things you need to know about the duty of these men. I found out that they were no burden at the kingdom whatsoever. In fact, these men and those 24,000 were actually supplied all their needs by their own tribes. In other words, for the month that they were to be on duty, it wasn't the state paying their food and their victuals and what they needed. But in that month that they were involved, I found out that they absolutely were taken care of by their own folks. Well, there's a great answer there, isn't there? And it says, so they weren't, while they were on duty, they weren't a burden for anybody. In other words, they didn't do it so they could get something. And there's a lot of people today that if you ask them to do something, they're going to know what I'm going to get out of it. What am I going to get out of it? How much are you going to pay me? What am I going to get out of this thing if I do this thing? And there's so many today that will not do something willingly because it's the right thing to do. And this group did. And so on their duty, they were taken care of by their own folks. Number two, the dedication. Notice what it says. A captain for the ninth month. In other words, you had to be there when it was time to be there. It was your month. Now, thanks be to glory, you didn't have to be there 12 months. You only had to be there 1 month. And in that 1 month, when your time of duty came, if you were dedicated, you showed up. Listen, there'd be 24,000 and one person would show up for duty during that month. Now, think about that. They rotated that. 24,000 go off duty, 24,000 come on duty without a glitch. Amen? Think about that. I mean, it was like turn it on, turn it off, turn it off, turn it on. Amen. And they took care of each other that way. Now, number three is this. Notice this. In 2 Samuel chapter number 23, and you don't have to turn there, verse number 39, the Bible records that David had 37 mighty men. 37 mighty men. And these men, of those mighty men, David chose 12 to be over a month. Now, what does that mean in real simple terms? I'm not real good with math, but I know the number 37 and the number 12 are not the same numbers. Y'all with me this morning? Amen. You with me? All right. I understand that there's some people that's not going to have to serve during that time. There's some folks who went home and didn't get to do it. But there were 12 men and 24,000 with them that absolutely were going to show up at the time of duty. And it says there's a distinction about these men. David had chose 12 out of 37, and those 12 were to take a month and be prepared to take care of Israel. And it just come up that Abiezer's month was in the month of Kislev, or our December, and he had the great distinction not to have to be on duty, but that he got to. Amen. Ain't that the word we use around here? I don't have to go to church, but I get to. I don't have to sing in a choir, but I get to. Amen. Brother Elijah don't have to go to nursing home. Last time I seen, they don't put you in locks and carry you off to nursing home. Brother Tony don't have to go to the prison and preach. Don't have to, but you get to. And that is a great difference in folks that love the Lord and folks that don't know love the Lord. Some people have to go to church and some people get to. Some people have to practice and some people get to. Some people have to study and some people get to. The great thing in your life is when you quit having to do things and you start getting to. Amen. Because let me be very clear. If there's 37 and you don't do your job, there's somebody that can. I don't think everybody got that. There, in fact, there's more than enough to come behind you. In fact, there's two waiting in ranks and one more behind them ready to jump in anytime you don't want to take your month. Think about that. But they got the great distinction of being a guard in Israel for 1 month that 25 other men did not get that distinction. Think about that. And that happened in a cold, wet, windy month that Abiezer, that was his month. And I can read all the Bible over and I never hear Abiezer saying, I got to go to Jerusalem. I got to leave my family. I got to roll out of bed. I got to get up and do something because the truth of the matter is I don't have to, but I get to. Hey, mad preacher. I'm glad I get to do something in the house of God. I'm glad he picked me up out of a miry pit and set my feet on solid rock. I'm glad I get to be around God's people. I'm glad I get to sing a song. I'm glad I got a voice today. I'm glad like Brother Jim, brother's there. Hey, brother's there with him to be at the house of God today. Hey, I'm glad I get to, amen. And I don't have to, but I get to. Number one, I see his month. wet, windy, nasty, but that was his month. Are you with me? Keeping watch in the wintertime, it's your month. Get on and do it. Now notice this. Look at verse number 12. I got this message about 6 o'clock in the morning, so if it don't make sense, y'all just hang with me. 6 o'clock yesterday morning. Amen. Now watch this. Look at with me in verse number 12. The ninth captain for the ninth month was Abiezer, the Anathothite of the Benjamites. Now I'll tell you one thing. That's a big description. Amen. That's a big description. I won't give them to you this morning. Let's start with his name. Name Abiezer. The name Abiezer is translated in the Bible three different ways, or of the family, three different ways. They're called Abiezer. They're called Jezer, Jezer, J-E-E-Z-R. It's pronounced that way in the Bible. And it's also called the Jezerites. Not the Jezerites, the Jezerites. And J-E-E-Z-E-R-I-T-E. And it's found in the Bible written three different ways, and all of it talks about the same people, same family, everything. Okay? That name, his name, Abiezer, means my father is help. In other words, my father was a helping man. Okay? My father is a helping man. Amen. And I got looking up about him. And here's what I found out. If you try to study him back, you'll find out that he was of Joseph, Jacob's son. Now we just finished our young people just got finished studying their Sunday school lesson about Joseph. And I'll tell you one thing, if there's anybody that was not about himself, but about helping somebody, it was Joseph. Amen. And you know, Joseph is typical Old Testament of the New Testament Christ. You know, we see him the same way. Because Jesus wasn't about himself. He was about helping somebody. Amen. Same way. You can look at his life all the time. And so Joseph, he's from the seed of Joseph. And Joseph was a helper. We could say without a doubt, my father is a helper. Amen. You can read on and find out about Gideon. In Judges chapter number 6, verse 34, but the Spirit of God, of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him. That tribe, Abiezer, went after him and said, boy, we're going to be with you. And so, what do we find? We find Gideon, that one is out there threshing the wheat out there trying to thresh the wheat without anybody finding out. God says, hey, that mighty man of valor. And he said, who are you talking about, me? And he said, yeah, I'm going to use you. And when he finally gets Gideon convinced to go and do something, what's the first group that falls in behind him? His own family. Gideon is of the same family of Abiezer. And his whole family says, I tell you what, if he stirred you enough to go, I'll go too. And Abiezer went out and helped Gideon. Isn't that good? So we see him in the family of Gideon. In 1 Chronicles chapter number 1, chapter number 11, verse number 10, the Bible says this, these also are the chief of the mighty men whom David had, whom strengthened themselves with him in his kingdom and with all Israel to make him king. When David was to be anointed king, there's men that gathered themselves to him. And the Bible says, according to the word of the Lord concerning Israel. And if you read down through that, you'll find out there's Abiezer. When David was anointed king, Abiezer's family was there. You'll find out over there in 1 Chronicles chapter 11, verse 26. Also the valiant man of the armies. David had some valiant man that went out and fought battles. Do you know what one of them's name was? Abiezer. You'll find out over there when David's on his deathbed. And David's talking about all the things that God done. The Bible says these are the final words of David. You know what David does with his final words? He begins to quote down his mighty men. He begins to give that reference of those 37 mighty men. Do you know who's in there? Guess what? Abiezer's in there. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying Abiezer is there as a helper every time. He is a helper. He is after his father Joseph. He is there with Gideon. He's there to anoint the king. He's there to fight the battles. And he's there the last words and mention of David. When David wants to, when he knows that his life is culminating, he is talking about his mighty men. These are men that stood with me in battle. I love them. I care for them. They fought the battle with me. What are you saying, preacher? Surely Abiezer was a helper. His whole family name means he is a helper. He just couldn't help himself but be a helper. He couldn't help himself but show up for duty. Why, that's what my family does. That's what we've been raised to do. That's what my heritage is, to be there when God has told me to be there, to show up. It doesn't matter if it's cold. It doesn't matter if it's wet. It doesn't matter if nobody else wants to do it. I get to, and that's what I know to do. Are you there with me? The Bible said his name was Abiezer. And then he says, Abiezer. He says this, he says the Anetothite. Anetothite means attention. Means to pay attention. Means to be aware of what's going on. So not only was he the helper man, my father's a helper. I'm the helping kind of man. But he says I'm the attentive kind of man too. His very name means I know what's going on. Amen. I'm aware of things that are going on. Look what it says in, well, you don't have to read there, but in Judges chapter number 7, I'll give you the passage, verse 6, and the number of them that lapped putting their hand to their mouth were 300 men, but all the rest of the people bowed down their knees to drink water. Now in chapter number 7, we know that Gideon is gathering those men together, and God said, you got too many. If I let you go that many, sure enough, I won't get the glory for it. You got to get rid of some more. He said, take them down the riverside and see how they drink. Most all of them got down and drank like this. Like any other animal would do. There were some men that scooped that water up in their hand. They said they lapped it like a dog. About 300 to be exact. I'll prove to you in a minute that Abiezer was there. About 300 drinking. You know what it says? God said, choose them. Why? Because they drank water with their head up. They didn't have their head down, worried about just getting them something to drink. But it was always looking. Always attentive. Always watching. I'm telling you one thing. If there's anybody I want watching over the kingdom, I want somebody that's got their eyes open. Amen. You with me? So he takes them down and God gleans 300 out. And the Bible says in Judges chapter number 8, verse number 2, and he said unto them, men of Ephraim got mad at them. Did you know that? They went out and fought a battle. And the men of Ephraim didn't show up till later when the enemy was running. And the men of Ephraim got mad at him. So I'll tell you one thing. I don't know why y'all did us like that. You didn't call us to the party. There's a lot of people get mad if y'all get called to the party. I've heard people say, preacher, if I'd have known you was going to work, I'd have been there. Somebody tells me that. I said, have you looked at the church calendar? Have you been there every time I've announced it for the last 17 times? I won't cost you nothing. That's a free one. Amen. I'd have done it if I'd have known it. This group of Ephraim says, why didn't you tell us to come? Well, actually, he had called for everybody to come. They just didn't come. And then when the battle started being won, they jump in. I had a person tell me all the time ago, he said, just get the wagon rolling, those will jump in. If you tug hard enough, get it rolling, everybody gets revival. Amen. Woo! Are we still here? Now watch this. And he said unto them, men of Ephraim, what have I done now in comparison of you? Is not the gleaning of the grapes of Ephraim better than the vintage of Abiezer? Now here's what's happening is, they're fussing because they didn't get involved in it. And they got him in. And he looks at them. He says, isn't your gleanings, what you got at the end, the little inning, isn't it much better than everything that Abiezer did? Now, the truth of the matter is, although they fought the battle, they didn't stand with him like Abiezer. But Gideon uses meekness in his own family and says, that little bit you did at the end was much better than anything we do. You know what he's saying? You go ahead and take the glory. We don't have to take glory to do the job. You go ahead and take the glory. Why, your gleanings are better than all our gatherings, all our vintage, the best that we have is better than you. You go ahead and take it. And the Bible says they were appeased and everybody went home. All they want to do is somebody brag on them. Y'all did much better than all the rest of us. Why, we're just a bunch of sorry low down, been here the whole time working. Just as long as you get a little glory, go home. Amen. Y'all still with me? Boy, we got visitors. Ain't never going to want to come back. Amen. Hear what I'm saying? Now watch. Watch what happens. In chapter 12 of Judges, Ephraim does the same thing again. And they get all mad at him. And Gideon, listen, don't you ever, listen, church, look up here, church. Don't ever confuse meekness with weakness. Don't ever, because somebody lets you talk, think that you got away with it. Just because you can talk and nobody rebukes you the moment you did it, don't you think you can't get rebuked. You can get rebuked. And don't think God can't get your number, because he can get your number. Ephraim comes up again. I mean, they got away with it one time, and they start pushing on Gideon again. You know what Gideon does? He calls the folks together, and they beat the tar out of Ephraim. You know why they did that? Because meekness is not the same as weakness. And God let him beat him too. There's a couple of folks that need some help with, and they wouldn't help him. You know what he did to them? He took them, drug them through the briars. He's an attention man. He has attention to what's going on. He drinks his water, lapping, and he has attention when the glory is wanting to be sapped up by somebody else. He just lets them have the glory, because that doesn't really matter. Are you listening? Now, we're going somewhere. The third part of his name is, the Bible says he's a Benjamite. Now, we see that he's a Bezer. He's the helping man. We see that he's an Anatothite, attention man. And now he's called a Benjamite. And the Bible says that in Genesis 35, verse 18, when Rachel was dying in her sorrow, she says, call him Benoni, which means my sorrow. But, man, he's not going to let that happen. Jacob's not going to let that happen. No. You know what Jacob does? He says, no. No, we're not going to do that. We're going to name him Benjamin. Benjamin means the son of my right hand. What it says is this. He's better than he could have been. This man who's going to be over the month of December, his family name says, I'm better than I could have been. I was supposed to be called sorrowful. Sorry. But you know what I'm called? I'm called the son of the right hand. I'm better than I could have been. Number two, not am I better than I could have been. But he said, let's just be honest about it. I'm a Benjamite. Listen, the Bible says when they called them together, they had a lot of them there. Listen, the only son of Jacob that didn't sell out Joseph was Benjamin. Amen. He wasn't a sellout. He was better than he could have been. And he didn't do what he could have done. But number three, look at this. When he's called Benjamin, the son of the right hand of the Bible represents two things, power and authority. He said, my given name is this. Here's the name of the man that's going to watch over the month of December. He's going to be his name is Abizer. He's the helpful man. His name is Anatothite. He's going to be the aware man. He's going to be the attentive man. And number three, he's the son of Benjamin. He's a Benjamite. And so he is without a doubt. He is without a doubt. He is without a doubt a man of power and a man of authority, because he's not what he could have been, and he's not done what he could have done. But thanks be to God, I'm not who I used to be. Hey, man, you know how to make you show up for duty? When you realize where you could have been and realize what God's done for you and realize where God's put you at. And all of a sudden you say, you know what I can be? I can be an attentive man. I can be an attention. I can be a man that can be used in authority and power. And I can be somebody that's helpful. David said, I'm going to pick 12. And I think I'll take this gentleman right here. I think I'll take old Beezer and put him in that number 9. Because I believe when wintertime comes, he'll be there when he's supposed to be there. Now watch this. We're not done. And in his course were 24,000. In the wintertime. I can understand why somebody show up for duty in the spring. I mean, when the roses are blooming, the lilies are blooming, and the birds are... I mean, it's not hard to hold attention then. What do you do when it's windy and wet? And it's your time to stand. What makes 24,000 fall in behind you? Boy, I tell you one thing. There was some loyalty to Abiezer. There were 24,000 men who got up and showed up and stood in the wind and the rain and says, I don't care what everybody thinks. I know it don't look bright like everybody thinks. I know people look at it and say, they ain't got enough sense to get out of the rain. But it's our time to hold the duty. We're going to show up and do what we're supposed to do. 24,000 got out of bed and showed up for duty. That was his lot. The word course means lot. That's what fell to him. And his loyalty was, it was his. Notice what it says. And in his course were 24,000. It was Abiezer's course. It was his lot. Now think about that. It was his lot that fell to him. David chose him to do it. But 24,000 said they'd go stand with him. Just like the ones in the summertime, you had 24,000 standing in the wet and standing in the rain. There's something different about old Beezer right there. There's something different about old Beezer. He said, well, preacher, who's going to get out and fight a battle in the wintertime? Who's going to come now? Why, you fight battles in the spring. Yeah, but I'm going to give you some Bible now. Turn to John chapter number 10. And I'm done. I appreciate your patience this morning. Why don't you turn over to the book of John chapter number 10. And just hold your place, and I'm not going to give you the verses yet. Don't be reading ahead. Just look up here for a minute. I'm going to give you something. Between the book of Malachi and the book of Matthew, there are 400 years where God is silent. There are no writings at all. 400 years. Now, the only thing recorded that many people try to put the Bible, and it's not part of the canon, is the book of Maccabees. The book of Maccabees is just a history. That's all it is. It's not a canon of the Scripture. But it's written about the Maccabees and the heroics of the Maccabees. Now, what's that about? Well, after Alexander the Great had died, he left a kingdom called the Seleucids. And the Seleucids were in power. And the Seleucids had one called, Antiochus IV. And he was in power. And he called himself Epiphanes. It means I am God in the flesh. Okay? That's what I am. I am God. And he was a Greek, and he was a madman. And anybody that didn't do what he did, he had them killed. I mean, he slaughtered women and babies. I mean, if he found a Jew that had their child circumcised, he killed the mother and the baby just because the baby was circumcised. He was a madman. And in 167 B.C., listen, 167, maybe 170 years before Christ was born, 167 B.C., he decided he would just really do it. And he goes into Jerusalem, he goes into the temple, he sets up a false idol to Zeus in the temple, and he takes a sow pig and he cuts that sow pig open and he offers that blood upon the altar in Jerusalem. Can you know how that profaned the house of God and the temple? I mean, not only was he a heretic of heretics, but a sow which God told him about the pig and the blood, and he just profaned he hated the people of Jews. Well, there's a man by the name of Judas Maccabeus, not Judas and Maccabees. And he was a priest, and that got him upset. Because he believed God, and he believed the Word, and he believed the temple ought to be a place of holiness. And he got just a little group of men got together, and they did guerrilla warfare on those Alexandrians, on those Gentiles. And they beat the tar out of them. And they got them out of that. And in the month Chislev, which is the Greek name for the month we're in right now, which is Kislev, pronounced Chislev in the Greek, they go and take that temple over and re-cleanse it. Okay? And they couldn't find any oil. This is written in the Maccabees. They couldn't find any oil, but they found one little bottle of oil, Brother Tony. And they decided they'd take that bottle of oil and go put it in the lamp and let it burn. That oil was supposed to last for one day. And they put it in that lamp, and according to history, it lasted for 8 days until fresh oil could be found. Okay? You know what that's called? It's called Hanukkah. It's the time of the lights. And that's why the Jewish people have Hanukkah in this season. Because what they're doing, they are celebrating the fact that God kept the light on till fresh oil could get there. And they're celebrating that somebody stood up and said, we're going to keep God's house holy even in the wintertime. You say, why are you giving us Jewish tradition? Why are you giving us those things? Got your Bibles open? I want to show you something. John chapter number 10. You better have your Bibles over this. This is amazing. John chapter number 10. Look at verse number 22. I'm not smart. I'm just giving you a Bible. Look what it says. And it was at Jerusalem the feast of the dedication. You know what that is? That's the time when they celebrated that thing. That's what it was called, the dedication. And it's when they celebrated that they had cleaned that temple up during the Maccabees. Remember, this is between the 400 years, during that season, now they're celebrating it. Now, here we have it written in the Bible right here, the Feast of Dedication, during that time of dedication. Now, look what it is. And it was winter, just in case you didn't think it was right. Amen. Notice what happened. And Jesus walked in the temple of Solomon's porch. Why should we keep? Why should we stand guard in the wintertime? Y'all know where I'm going. Because you never know who might show up. Never know who might show up during your feast. Never know who just might walk through and tell you all about what he's getting ready to tell them about my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. You just never know who's going to show up. Somebody says, well, I don't see why it's a big deal. Hey, listen. If Jesus thought it was important enough to show up for dedication, when they cleanse something in the Bible, when they cleanse the temple, and it didn't even have nothing to do with it, there is no feast of dedication recorded in the Old Testament that talks about that. That's not talking about anything. It's a completely just time between the 400 years of silence that somebody stood up and did something. And you know what Jesus did? He thought that's kind of important too, that somebody would keep the temple cleansed. Wait a minute, whoa, isn't it Jesus that said, wait a minute, let me make a rope. Let me whip up a little whip. As Brother Willis said, let me make a little whip and I'll cleanse the temple. How many times did he do that? Twice. You know what Jesus thinks? He thinks it's real important keeping things right, even in the wintertime. We need somebody to stand up, stand their course, do their job when it's windy and it's wet and nobody else wants to, just because it's the right thing to do. And they don't have to. They get to. They get to. Let's all stand. I want the pianist to come play something softly. Well, maybe God can use this ramblings. I know the scriptures. Maybe somebody get a hold of somebody's heart and say, you know what? I want to be like a Beezer. God's brought me out a lot of things. God brought me through a lot of things. God's been good to me. God's been faithful to me. God's been right to me. God picked me up when I was a nobody. And I don't have to get the glory in everything. And I want him to have the glory. I wonder if there's any Abezers among us today. Maybe there's somebody here who says, man, I want to be like Abezer. Preacher, that's just one verse. But I want to be like him. I want to hold the fort. We sing that song, Hold the Fort. What's the next words? For he is coming. That's why we hold the fort. Why are you faithful to read? Why are you faithful to study? Why are you faithful to practice? Why are you faithful to the house of God? Why are you faithful in service? Why are you faithful in caring? Why are you faithful in being a friend? Why are you faithful in doing all these things? Because we're holding the fort. Because he is coming. He is coming. One of the saddest verses in the Bible to me is, he said, when he comes again, will he find faith? Will he find faith? When Christ comes, will he find anybody that has faith and been faithful? That's one of the saddest verses in the Bible. Sad thing, he's done all that he's done for us. And we can't try to find the time, the energy, the effort, or the motive to do something for him. I'm not saying you have it. I'm just saying I don't want to be that way. I want to give you a pastoral lesson this morning. And I want you to get this today. Three pieces of paper on the floor. We're going to leave them there? Whose job is it? You sure? I'm going to throw them down. Greatest lesson in our life. When we realize everything that I can do, I should do. Everything I can do, I should do. Don't look around and see somebody else do it. Everything I can do, I should do. Because see, my Father's help. I'm attentive, I see it. And I'm not what I used to be. The altar's open tomorrow if you need to come. Altar's open. I'm not even going to sing a song if you need to come. Altar's open. Every head bowed, every eye closed. No one looking around. If you need to come this morning, won't you come? Won't be no shame in coming. I'll tell you one thing, it sure convicts me. Everything I can do, I should do. Everything I can do, I should do. I've been chosen out of 37. I've been chosen. I'm one of 37. And God put me over the month of December. That's my lot. 24,000 said, I think I'll go with him. 24,000 said, I'll show up and stand the wind and the rain. It don't matter what everybody thinks. Hey, old Gideon went to go. They said, we'll go with you. David was anointed. They were there anointing him. Everything needed to be done. You can always find a beezer there, seemingly. Every great act, they're there doing their job. They're doing their job. Everything I can do, I will do. Six o'clock yesterday morning, God said, get up and study that. I didn't even know I was going back. I looked at these already. I said, I don't know. That's just one verse. I should know better. Lord, that's just one verse. Kind of like John 3:16. That's just one verse. You get looking, and God says, no, there's more than that there. And I'm sure I'd go back and I could study on the other 11 and say there'd just be just as much. But this is where we are today. This is the month Kislev. This is the month of December. This is our, isn't it funny, yesterday it's snowing on the way. I was sitting there driving to church. I was like, man, this is just uncanny. This is just amazing. Brother Tony, I was riding down the road and it was snowing, a little snow, a little drift, wasn't big. It's been a long time since I said it snowing in December. Snowing coming down. I thought, this is crazy. And the only reason I was thinking that, I was relating back to this message. I was thinking about old Beezer standing out there. Nobody's going to take the court. Nobody gets Jerusalem this month. I'll be off 11 months, 12 months. I'm here. This month, I am here. This ninth month, I am here. And 24,000 fell behind him, stood up in the wind and rain. Man. Never know who's going to show up, though, do we? Never know who's going to show up. Let's bow our heads this morning. Lord, you've been good to us. You've been faithful. Lord, there's no doubt that, Lord, I bellyache and I complain and I see things. And Lord, I get tired body and mind and spirit. I get weak and weary. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for reminding me again that I don't have to do things. But I get to. Lord, I thank you for the examples that's gone on before me. I know what I've been taught. Lord, I can be aware of what needs to be done. Lord, what really, really makes me show up is knowing I'm not who I used to be. I ain't done what I could have done. God, I pray you'd take this message and help somebody today. Touch our hearts, helping the church today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen. We've got choir practice this afternoon, 5 o'clock. Everybody wants to sing. Everybody wants to participate. All ages, everything. Be here this afternoon. Appreciate it. Love you. Amen.